Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, and I'm your host today. I am coming at you from Oceanside, California. It is gorgeous. It is 82 degrees. It's just paradise right now, weather-wise. My fans are going, have a nice ocean breeze. It's clear skies, blue skies, just sunny and gorgeous. I want to welcome everybody who's listening in. Hopefully those can get in through Blog Talk Radio, and also those who are listening through default players, etc., and other apps. I wanted to start today. There's so much to cover. I want to get into some scripture and also some ideas as to what to do to fix the mess we're in, because the only way we're going to fix anything is to fix ourselves. And, I mean, look around you. We have a feckless Congress. We have crazy people. Such as, you know, Barry, the Muslim Marxist fagala running things. And I want to welcome Yola. And I think I have Bill also. He's probably trying to get in. Is that you, Bill?
That's me. Just calling
okay.
In to listen.
Oh, absolutely. Yola or Nick, I'm not sure, but they're typing, so we're going to get started right away. I think people are having trouble getting in. I'm not sure. I've put out the message to everyone, so it's possible they have to listen in other ways. So, again, welcome everybody. So, hi, Linda. I'm listening, and Nick will stay here. Awesome. Okay, good update. And I just wanted to say that Ron sent me an email earlier. He's got a meeting from his work, so he might enlighten us Monday if he does a show on what's going on there. So, you know, sometimes change is good, sometimes, you know, change is bad, but we'll see how it goes. So everybody's in our prayers, and I emailed him back, you know, because I guess his one company's being taken over by some giant mega corporation. And welcome Mikey B, he's chimed in as well, so we're all good. And I just said, you know, if things don't go well for you there, you know, if God closes one door, then he'll open up another one. So we'll pray for that. And also, I haven't heard too much on Lonnie's dad's condition, but a lot of folks need prayer at this time, because we got a call, I think it was Monday or whatever day it was. I can't even remember. Maybe it was a different one, or Saturday, that my aunt Tita, who's aging, she's probably a couple years younger than my mom, so, and she's had a very weak heart, so she's in the hospital. I haven't heard anything one way or the other in the last few days, so we're praying for them. Anyway, here we go. I want to go with Romans 12, 1-8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, which is a very important message. And one more quickie. Hey, Rod, welcome to the program. So we do have Bill on the line because he couldn't get in any other way, so we're going that way. And this one is Gospel of Matthew, and that would be 16 verses 21 through 28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." These are really important. I don't think he was calling Peter Satan. He just knew that Satan was in charge of Peter's mind at that moment. So that was one of the messages. And I wanted to go to the next piece here that I have. And again, there's a lot of things that happen to us, and we learn from our mistakes, and we read things, and we discern things. And I just wanted to give you a little excerpt, which will also say some of the same things in these scriptures. And this is from Glenn Beck, and it's a Labor Day message to America. I'm not a huge fan of Beck anymore. I think he has, I don't know his heart, but, you know, as long as he's doing the work that he's supposed to and that he's walking the walk and not just talking the talk, then we'll go there. But there was a lot of things in here that made a lot of sense. And he says, "Hello, America. Hard to believe it's Labor Day already. I don't know about you, but time seems to be moving in hyperlapse speed. One little blink and summer is already in the rearview mirror. I know this weekend is generally reserved for kicking back and hanging with family, and I plan to do that, but I'm also gearing up because there is much work to do. We start the new season, Glenn Beck program, when I return tomorrow. We have a ton of projects hard at work on. Most of that work is focused on the path forward. In fact, you'll see our first new project unveiled on Monday, September 8th, when Dana Lush moves to 5 nights a week. Anyway, goes on there. But there is some serious heavy lifting to be done, and most of it will be in the form of coming to grips with the reality of how we must move forward. It is so tempting to fall into the old patterns that have gotten us nowhere. Sure, it feels pretty darn good to unleash on ridiculous progressive arguments, but that cannot be the only thing we offer. Yes, the truth must continue to be told, and yes, that will sometimes take the form of picking apart the fatal flaws of progressivism. But is that enough? Is simply pointing out the log in another's eye really going to rally people to our cause? We've tried that approach, and it's only brought more division. No conversion story, whether it be religious, political, or otherwise, ever starts with, "It all began when I lost an argument." If you truly want to win hearts and minds, winning the argument simply isn't going to get the job done. We have to find a better approach, and that's what I'm in the process of pinning down. I don't know what it looks like exactly, but I have seen flashes of it. What I do know is that the common thread must be mercy, which is what we talked about in the scripture. We will continue to demand justice and hold the corrupt accountable, but we must be quick to show mercy to those in need. Mercy is more powerful than any verbal argument could ever be. Jesus himself made, obviously, many great and logical arguments, but he was also healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and comforting those in mourning. He did so many things like this, in fact, that if it had been all written down, the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. We are to teach the truth and correct principles, but we can't do that at the expense of actually living out those principles. How do we live them out? Act justly, love, mercy, walk humbly, What does it look like exactly? Glad you asked. I saw a perfect example last weekend in Ferguson, Missouri, with a local tea party there. As angry protesters were busy looting and trashing local businesses, the St. Louis Tea Party staged a boycott aimed at helping the businesses harmed by the violence. One local business owner was shocked to learn the people helping were from the Tea Party. Their genuine act of mercy and kindness shattered every myth this shop owner had ever heard about the so-called racist and heartless Tea Party. His heart was literally changed on the spot because everything he thought he knew was just proved wrong. That one act of mercy and kindness did more than 1,000 of the best arguments ever could. This is how we win. And I don't mean we as in the Republicans. I mean we as in Americans, as humans. That's what I've been reduced to. We're just pawns in their power game. We've all been duped to various degrees, constantly drawn into false choices. I refuse to be a pawn in the progressive game of the left, and especially of the right. I refuse to be placed in a category and pitted against my neighbor. I will demand justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with my God. These are God's values and the values I've been trying to follow since the day I first believed. I haven't always been the best at putting them into practice, but it's never too late to saddle up and try again. Following these values would not always make me popular, but I'm okay with that because popularity is a fruitless goal. If everyone always agrees with you, chances are you've never stated your true beliefs, or worse, you have violated them. If pursuing this path causes me to lose whatever popularity I have, so be it. I'd rather lose everything and keep my soul than gain everything and lose it. Although I'm confident I will stumble in this pursuit, I hope you will walk with me anyway. There is much work to do, and many hands and feet are needed. Enjoy the rest of the day. I will see you tomorrow. Lausteo, Glenbeck. So that was, like I say, there's a lot of things that, you know, we can disagree on. But I think that was a message that dovetailed what I had actually heard in my church and from the scripture. And my wonderful Pastor Tim, whom I've invited, I know he's very, very, very busy these days, and hopefully next week he can join us because he would have reiterated that sermon that he gave last Sunday, which was pretty powerful, which was also talking about what the book of Matthew was speaking on, mercy and, you know, picking up your cross. So these are very important things, and I just wanted to know what you thought about the first part of the show here, Bill.
Are you still with it? Oh yeah,
okay.
I like it. I agree. The people out there have been fed the stigmatized conception of what the Tea Party is. And
right.
When that realization hits them, it hits them hard. Because then they know they've been lied to, they've
sure.
been manipulated, and that tends to tick the people off.
Well, you know, what's funny is, part of what I got out of it, or the biggest thing I got out of it, was actions speak louder than words. And if we all try to do what Jesus wants us to do, and we show and walk the walk and not just blabber our mouths off like the coneheads in D.C., I think we're going to get a lot further ahead, you know, with changing hearts and minds. That was kind of what I got out of it. But I wanted to also, as I'm going through all of these issues, and again, anyone that wants to chime in, please, Mikey, if you have a minute, anybody wants to call 646-378-0321 to weigh in on these things. But I wanted to go to, this is something I had talked about right after I heard about it, and this was a good 3 years ago when the Schmendrick in chief decided to do another mafia hit on that Chinook helicopter called Extortion 17. And the parents are not only did they publish a book, and they've been on Hannity's show several times. In fact, they were on there today speaking about this. They're pretty much pulling no punches. I want to read this letter that they just sent to O'Maggot. You'll get something out of this one, because I'm telling you, they don't come out and say everything that I've said, because I think it was definitely a hit. But I'm going to go ahead and try to get into this and not lose my place on BTR and crash the thing. It says, parents of fallen SEAL team, I think it was 6 member, write open letter demanding President Obama's resignation. They're actually calling for him to resign, like in my dreams. The parents of fallen hero Aaron Carson Vaughn, a member of SEAL team six have written a letter demanding the resignation of President Obama. I know they have a video, which I can't play because I don't have it embedded. The letter clearly outlines the president's failings and draws attention to our nation's need for steady and principled leadership. The bonds have our ear. The question is, will President Obama be listening? Doubt that one. Even Hannity was, I mean, he's finally kind of waking up a little bit on some of this stuff. So if I can get to the meat of this thing, because Hannity he wasn't saying it for the same reasons we've said it, but he says, why would we tell our children and sons and daughters to go into the military when all these clowns in D.C. and the presidents and everybody else, all they want to do is just use them as pawns and think about their reelections and let them be slaughtered for nothing. Okay, so it says, after finally choosing to view the barbaric on-camera beheading of ISIS, a freelance war correspondent James Foley, I have been left with a level of rage known only to those of us who have sacrificed unspeakable offerings on the altar of world peace. My offering was my only son, Aaron Carson Bond. He was a member of SEAL Team 6. He was killed in action when a Chinook, which is CH-47D, carrying 30 Americans and 8 Afghans, were shot down in the Tangi River Valley of Afghanistan on August 6, 2011. Many times over the past 3 years, I've been asked what drove my son to choose his particular career, what made him want to be a Navy SEAL. My answer is quite simple. Aaron Bond was a man who possessed the courage to acknowledge evil, and evil, once truly acknowledged, demands response. Perhaps this is why so few are willing to look it in the eye. It is much simpler, much safer to look the other way. That is, unless you are the leader of the free world. As Commander-in-Chief, your actions, or lack thereof, Mr. President, cost lives. As you bumble about in your golf cart, slapping on a happy face and fist-pounding your buddies, your cowardly lack of leadership has left a gaping hole, not only in America's security, but the security of the entire globe. Your message has come across loud and clear, sir. You are not up to this job. You know it, we know it, and the world knows it. Please vacate the people's house and allow a man or woman of courage and substance to seize the reins of this out-of-control thug fest and regain the balance we, America, have provided throughout our great history. Thanks to your leadership from whatever multi-million-dollar vacation you happen to be on at any given moment, the world is in chaos. What's been gained, you've lost. What's been lost, you've decimated. You've demolished our ability to hold the trust of allies. You've made a mockery of the title president, and you have betrayed the nation for which my son and over 1.3 million others have sacrificed their very lives. But this should come as no surprise, since your wife uttered the vile statement on February 18, 2008, during the primary campaign, one that speaks volumes of your true convictions. For the first time in my adult life, I am really proud of my country, she said. I am sure my deceased son thanks you for that, Mrs. Obama. Oh, and you're welcome. I am sure my deceased son thanks you. Never in my lifetime have I witnessed such despair and such growing fear that the world's last best hope, America, has finally been dismantled. Perhaps the better word is transformed, fundamentally transformed. Come to think of it, it's become difficult, if not impossible, to believe things haven't gone exactly as you planned, Mr. President. Amazingly, in 5 short years, your administration has lurched from one disaster to another. You spearheaded the ambitious rush to end the wars in both Iraq and Afghani, with no plan on how to do so effectively. Also, the release of the Taliban 5 in exchange for one American without consulting Congress is also on your shoulders. You have been at the helm during unprecedented national security leaks, including but not limited to the outing of SEAL Team 6 on the bin Laden raid, the outing of the Pakistani doctor who provided the intelligence for that raid, the outing of Afghanistan's CIA station chief, and the outing of your personal kill list to make you look tough. In addition, 75% of American deaths in Afghanistan and 83% of Americans wounded in action have occurred on your watch, according to iCasualties.org. And now we have this recent heinous event, the beheading of an American citizen by a barbaric organization you foolishly referred to as the JV team in your statements to the New Yorker magazine in January. You, sir, are the JV team. It's time for you to step down and allow a true leader to restore our honor and protect our sons and daughters. America has always been exceptional. She will be again. You, Mr. President, are a bump in the road, our road. So anyway, that was the letter on that one. So I just wanted to share that with you. And if anyone has any comments, please call in or say so. What do you think, Bill?
I think he's exactly right. He hits the nail on the head. This is an incompetent boob. He's a community organizer, which translates out meaning he's a community agitator. And that's what he does, is agitate people.
Yeah, he agitates the hell out of me.
And I don't see him going against these people when, from what I can tell, he's one of them behind them.
Well, yeah, look, we can't just blame this one, but I truly believe, and I, like I said, I saw that whole 3-hour conference on the internet. It was not on regular TV. You wouldn't find it there, you know. There were many in attendance. There were several members of the parents of those kids who were shot down on that Chinook 17, Extortion 17, and it was an amazing. Alan West spoke. There were other people speaking. There were pastors speaking. The parents were speaking, both husband and wife. It was, like, amazing. Again, call in. Yola says, tell Bill and crew to speak up. We can't hear you. So try to get closer to the mic. But anyway, they're trying to hear.
I'm running back and forth between the kitchen and the living room.
Okay. You're going to need a little bullhorn or a megaphone. Anyway, so I know I make sure I have everything in front of me, like my water and my wine. So that's why I don't have to leave my my little hookup to my headphone. Won't reach that far. So anyway, this is another hit piece. I do believe that, you know, there's a lot. I can go back in history. I don't care how far back you go. You got the Clintons. They got blood on their hands in their administration. She's got blood on her hands as ex-Secretary of State with Benghazi, that little witch. You've got Barry's got a list a mile long of people that he's gotten rid of. Breitbart, I believe, is one of them. Chinook, Extortion 17 is another one. The people in Benghazi, that was another hit. I'm telling you. And then, of course, we have Cheney and good old George Pennywaist W. Bush doing the 9/11 attacks and letting it go forward. I mean, these people are psychotic, and they're running this world. They're all in cahoots now. It's not like, you know, where at least you had maybe some people who had some guts in Congress to try to put the kibosh on back in Wilson's time, but that didn't work either. I mean, it's just, it's a mess. I don't even know where to go with this. And then you've got this moron in chief talking about, well, it will decide whether it's a manageable problem. Manageable? Hell, this country created this mess. They've been creating this mess since day one. How long has this been going on?
The way I took what he said when he said that was, we're going to reduce them down to where we can control them. But that ain't wiping them out.
No, I think that the man, look, I think he's an imbecile. I really think that the chick, I can't remember her name now, Ann something, I'll think of it in a minute. She's Barnhart. She's the one that did the Quran burning, has done a bunch of rants on YouTube and stuff. She calls him an imbecile. And I think he's an imbecilic puppet. He was chosen. His whole life's a deviant mess and a lie. Every association he's ever come in contact with has been so far to the left there on Jupiter. I mean, the guy is just, he makes my stomach turn every time. It's like I need a permanent air sick bag taped to my chin. I can't take it. The guy is disgusting, but he's carrying it.
Globally leaked.
But, you know, here's the thing. He's doing it, Bill. He's carrying it out. He's just as guilty as the higher-ups, because he's like Himmler and the rest, and Goebbels. He's doing it, so he's not blameless. There's no blamelessness on that guy. Sorry. Or Hillary. None of it.
But in reality, we'd be hard-pressed to find any politician out there of the current mess that we have.
Yes.
Very, very few of them would come off looking good if you really looked into them and looked at them.
Oh my gosh! I mean, please, no. It's evil. But I would invite Mikey to come in. But I'm going to go back to here. I want to see what else I had. There was so much stuff. Let's see if I can find this one. There was another one. Oh, that was the extortion. And there was another one. Okay, let me go back real quick. Oh, yeah, the Muslims in chief. Here it is. It's called, this is from Sons of Liberty, my friend Bradley Dean. He was on my show a couple years ago, and I've got to get him back on because the guy's pretty cool. And this one's entitled, No Man is Above the Law. And this will get us going here. He's talking about, let's see if I can pull it up. It says, no man is above the law, and no man is below it, nor do we ask any man's permission when we ask him to obey it. Obedience to the law is demanded as a right, not asked as a favor. Teddy Roosevelt, not my favorite person, but at least he got that part right. Napoleon said, he who saves his country violates no law. I say, he who fulfills the law out of love saves his country, Romans 13:10, only to establish liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It has also been said that the truth, the law, is the first casualty in war. Of course it is. The truth, the law, is the great stumbling block to those who do not want to be ruled by law. The whole purpose of government is to ensure our rights, not to steal them away. If the American people understood that it is not the right of the government to break the law, and that our rights come from God, not the generosity of the state, then America would not be in the state it is today. I also remind you that no representative has the authority to tear down the Constitution and rebuild it in his or her own image. The biblical view versus the pagan view. Let's go to our foundation so we can see what the problem in America is today. In the biblical view of government, the state is divinely ordained, Exodus 18:21. State authority is limited, which leads to patriotism, which results in a republic, Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, and government is based on creation. America, simply put, is ruled by law or republic, not opinion, democracy. This is the difference between following God's Ten Commandments versus man's 10,000. On the contrary, in a godless pagan view, of the government, the state is divine. State authority is unlimited, which leads to state worship, resulting in tyranny based on evolution. America was founded on the biblical view, but the pagan view is in operation today. Quote, change. Shortly after Barack H. Obama's inauguration, it seemed everything did change, but it wasn't the change that was promised. There is no doubt that America is under attack. I have noticed that almost every circle of life in America has a deep concern about where this administration is attempting to take our country. While I do agree that things must change, it must not change to the new, but rather to the old, Jeremiah 6:16, and not to what some want us to become, but rather back to what our forefathers intended. As you know, the problems we have today did not start in America in 1776. They started when we departed from the principles that have been given to us. Holding government down by the chains of our Constitution is our duty. It is the responsibility of the people to hold them accountable to their oath. If I did not love my government, my country, and my people, I wouldn't say a thing about the errors that are so prevalent. It is love to correct, 2 Timothy 3:16. Likewise, I'm not going to dishonor the veterans and their sacrifice by honoring those in office who are disrespecting their appointed position. The veterans honored their oath, and so should those who serve we the people. I respect government so much that I want them honoring those who died to give it. This is real honor, Romans 13:4. Every individual who desires to save the country will stand behind these statements. The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teaching we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize enough these days. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in rights for anybody except the state. And that was actually Harry Truman, if you can believe it. Our representatives have sworn to uphold the Constitution with their hands placed upon the Bible. And this shows us all who we are ruled by. No man is above the law, for man did not give it. The video below, it's got the video and I can't play that. Anyway, it says, think the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case was bad? You should see what MSNBC and Rachel Maddow did to Bradley Dean. Anyway, so that was pretty cool because he quotes scripture, and I absolutely love when he does that. So what do you think about that?
I love that. I watched Phil Robertson do the same thing yesterday, quoting scripture and showing where the evil is at. And I think people are getting away from it, and we have too many churches that are trying to bend God's
right.
word to please man instead of man bending to please God.
Right. There's a lot of, gosh, what was I going to say? There's so many churches. Well, one of the reasons is they're fearful. The other reason is they're tied to this 501c3 or C4 nonsense, which makes no sense because I think it's anti-constitutional to tax a church to begin with. So they don't even need these 501c3s and 4s. It's just they should just tell them to pound sand. You know what? Just do whatever you need to do. There is freedom of religion. Just tell this stupid government to kiss off. I mean, what else can you do? I mean, you have to take a stand. People just, that's why I love my church. I've got a pastor who actually will preach from the pulpit and talk about, you know, he'll talk about what's going on in the government and talk about social issues and things like that. So, you know, he's not afraid of it. He'll intertwine the two. And if I hear one more person talk about separation of church and state, I swear my head's going to just fly off into space, just absolutely fly off into space. We have people who on the Blaze Radio harping. They were talking about Common Core over the weekend when everybody was on vacation, and he's harping on. And I actually tweeted him and says, "Buck, will you please stop calling this a democracy six times in a row?" You know, he called us a what did he call us a representative democracy? I was ready to scream. And I said, we are not a democracy. God, go read your history. Nobody reads anything. Nobody reads Basquiat. It's so simple. You can read that in half a day. That I mean, sit down and have your oil change. You can read that one. My God. I don't know. Higher Truth says churches and synagogues should be taxed. They are a corporation. Well, maybe some of them are, but I don't, you know, if they want to be a corporation, then that may be a different story. Welcome, Vorp. Welcome everybody to the show. Call in, guys, because you know, I was just getting into scripture and I didn't get my guest caller, so I would love to hear. And just you know, Vorp, you're welcome to call 646-378-0321, and Mikey B absolutely. Oh, and Mikey B is on tomorrow. He's doing a show 9 p.m. Eastern, so I would love to hear his comments on ISIS and how we funded it and trained it and all that stuff. That's the part that makes you crazy. And now they're all screaming about what to do about it. And I told him, if I have to be taxed, so does everyone else. But anyway, that's what Mike said. I was just reading the chats. But no, I understand, and I do want everyone to tune in also for Terry's show. I think she's going to be on tomorrow as well at 6 p.m. Eastern. So we have two amazing shows. And I mean, we've been funding and training. It's like they create the huge problem, and then they say, oh, well, I'll swoop in and be the savior. Mike says, the Fed income tax does not apply to corporate entities, not non-government workers. Right. And 12, Giggy Mom, absolutely. Yes, Vorp. Welcome to the program, everybody that's in the chat room, and MacEye 74005. And again, 646-378-0321. Please call with your comments. So, you know, these are the things that are going on. And again, I know that we're involved in this up to the eyeballs. And I did mention to Mikey, I said, well, I guess maybe I said there's like from what I heard, there was 20,000 members of this ISIS group or whatever, and the media and everybody else makes them out to be this giant boogeyman, and I'm like, okay, send them here. Mike says, that's not going to happen, and I said, oh, yeah, because there's a gun behind every blade of grass, and they know it. They ain't taking mine away either. So, again, if you guys want to weigh in, please do.
Sadly, I believe they are already here.
Well, they could be.
They haven't done an act yet, but I do look for them to do some things here, the more the pressure that we try to put on them. But if you look around, it's not only the Islamic radicals within our own country. Our taxpayer dollars go to fight the taxpayers.
Right. Well, I know. I mean, look, we got that going on.
Everyone off. They use your money to fight you.
Yes.
They use your money to take away your rights.
You got to hear this.
I had a little discussion today about this minimum wage hike. And I said, don't you know what that was really about? The fact is they want more money. So they're going to make you think you're getting a raise, and then they're going to jack the price of the taxes on gas. They're going to jack electric bills. They're going to jack the price of food and everything else. And in the end, you're not going to be no better off than you were, probably worse off, but they're going to have all that extra money that you thought you were getting.
I'm going to touch on that in a second, because that's called price fixing, and this is definitely central planning, economic planning, and it's not good. They're doing it here in California, like on steroids. The one thing I did find out, I've got another caller. I'm going to go ahead and pick that person up, too. And 214, you're on the air.
It's me, Linda. It's me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always forget
okay.
That that's your area code. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks. How are you?
Oh, God. I tell you, go ahead and do your comments, and I want to talk about just for a brief moment on what's happening in California. Go ahead.
Well, my comments are basically simple in that churches and synagogues, for one, should be taxed because they are corporate entities. They have kind of like a CEO, if you will. They kind of have a structure. They kind of have a board. They do take in money, and a lot of them do profit. And if we are not a theocracy, then I find it inconsistent that they are tax exempt and other entities aren't. And as far as ISIS goes, 20,000 to 20 million, it really doesn't matter. They're all the same deal. ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda.
Right.
They're all been bred from United States, Great Britain, and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia supplies the meat, the people. And they just scatter them throughout the Middle East.
Right.
Pakistan, Jordan, Yemen, whatever. It doesn't matter. Afghanistan. And the U.S. government in Great Britain supply the cash as well and the training. So just because 20,000 is listed under that name doesn't mean they're just 20,000. And it also ties into this illegal immigration crap, and I will not call it amnesty because there's no such thing. You're illegal.
Invaders.
You can't be made legal. Well, they're not invaders, actually. Obama and crew are letting them in.
Yeah.
See, an invasion is when you're putting up a fight from somebody encroaching onto your territory.
Right.
The U.S. government is actually shipping them in. So
I know.
It's
That's
not
sick.
An invasion. What it is treason.
Yes.
It is treason what's taking place. So it's not an invasion. It's not amnesty. And it's not illegal immigration. It is subterfuge. It is sabotage.
It's subversive. Absolutely.
This country
Absolutely.
Is being purposefully sabotaged.
Yep.
And if Barry is able to sign that executive order in time, I don't know how that's going to affect the November elections. Does that mean that all these people that are fleeing over, that are over 18, they immediately get to vote? What kind of an impact is that going to have this November? That's something we have to think about.
Absolutely. Well, that's exactly why he's doing this stuff. Every single thing he can from the day he got sworn in up until now, except play golf, to undermine this country and destroy it from within. It's very clear. I mean, my God, you have to have your head so deep into Plato's cave, you'll never see the light of day to not see this. I mean, you have to be Helen Keller not to see this. I mean, it's just that bad.
Well, nine out of 10 Americans are Helen Keller.
Exactly.
It's
Thank
just the way
you.
It is.
Just
you know,
the way
it's
it is.
True.
And here's the thing. Look what they did. I'm going to give kudos to Mikey Slater's show because he was on earlier today talking about this. And he there was a guy helping him out because in Sacramento, Giggy Mom says, get a rope. Yeah, I'd like to have several of them. Anyway,
well,
for other people, and including the days when I want to wake up and find a rope to hang myself with when I hear what's going on. Because in Sacramento, the lobbyists and these runaway progressives up there, and I don't care whether they call them RDLI, it doesn't matter. They can hide behind any damn label they want to. They're all full of it. They're all doing the same thing. And now they're voting on two issues. One is, well, the city of San Diego's voting on the minimum wage deal. And they're pulling, you know, little shenanigans down there. And then in Sacramento, they're talking about trying to make a statewide ban on plastic bags because they're lying about this, you know, saving the fish. There's only probably been one fish in the whole damn Pacific Ocean that ever choked on a friggin' bag that was – the whole thing is a lie. It's just crap. They want to control you. They want to take your money. So this is what these guys did up there with a Democrat majority, a supermajority up in Sacramento. They held the vote to decide whether they were going to put this plastic bag ban on the ballot for the voters, right? Do you know how many times? Well, until they got the outcome, they voted four times. They actually voted four. It's like until the Democrats got the outcome that they wanted, meaning that the voters don't get to decide on this. I mean, this is the kind of crap we go through in California. So, in other words, it would be like having a presidential election and then somebody saying, nope, didn't turn out right, let's do it again. I mean, this is what's going on. It's craziness. This is my state.
Yeah, and it sounds like they wouldn't let up until they got what they wanted.
Exactly.
And
they probably would have voted Kenta. I mean,
they would have.
Oh, my God. It's mind-boggling. We have so many issues here. I was reading in the paper about, I mean, every time I pick it up, especially in the local ones, there's like Agenda 21 on steroids because you should see these pictures. They'll show you the picture in the paper of this vision of what this project's going to look like. And all it is they want, literally, and you can see it, you can read between the lines and it doesn't take much. They want you out of your car. They're going to put these stupid buildings up there with what they call mixed use or high density. And now the people are balking because it's too high density. What about parking and all this stuff? They don't see, you know, the big picture because they don't do their homework. No, I believe me, I blog and post every day on Facebook and anywhere else I can about this and try to wake people up. There's a lot finally waking up on Facebook, but, you know, a little too little too late. They're doing it over and over and over again. They've got it in every single city in California. We're actually having a meeting, two meetings with our attorneys because we're going to try to put the kibosh on these guys so that at least when the mobile home parks bite the dust and turn into dust and we're not here anymore, we'll have enough money to get the hell out of Dodge and buy our own property in another state. Because these guys, I'm not kidding, I don't even want to say too much on the air, but these guys have never lost a suit against the park owner yet, and they have been in business a long time. I've seen their offices downtown. These guys are amazing. They understand mobile home residency law in California, and they're good. And so I'm so pleased that they're going to take our case because these park owners, they have violated so many laws, I can't even tell you, but failure to maintain the roads and everything else here is one of them. That's just one. The other is they're purposefully they're doing other different things with mobile home residency law that they're violating, especially when the park rules and things like that. And anytime you want to sell your home, they act like little Gestapo, and the people who come in with their realtors to sit down in the office to finalize the papers, these two managers who look like Himmler and Goebbels, scream and yell and cuss at them and throw them out, literally throw them out on the street and don't finalize the sale. This is what's been going on in our two parks for a long time. So we're going to sue these SOBs. That's what we're going to do. And we got meetings coming up on the 16th and 17th. So my 17th show is going to be cut short because I have to hightail it down to the office or the rec room and hang out with the attorneys. So, yeah, I mean, we're hoping that we can do that because by the time we get around to getting out of here, I won't get less than probably $20,000 for this piece. And, you know, and that's fine, but boy, there better be a damn hefty lawsuit for me because I'm telling you, we're going to get punitive damages too. These guys don't go for small bucks. I know these guys. They have a good track record.
Well, wish you luck. I mean, I hope it works out. You know.
Yeah, so you know what? I'm at that point where once I can get out of here, and get, I will go to Southern Indiana. Uh-oh, I think we have the troll. I think that's Beasley, so I may have to just get rid of him. What else you got to say, Hugo Agogo?
Well, you see, that's really not necessary, that person. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
That's really not
He's
necessary.
Done. He's done. He's done. Yeah. He won't dare call in. He comes back in, all logged out. I kicked him out. Yeah. He does
yeah,
this all the
you.
Time.
That's
he's vulgar.
Necessary.
He's nuts. He does it to get me going. I mean, who talks like this except some, you know,
Hello,
stuff porn film? Yeah. The guy's a nut. Oh, there's no way I was going to put up with that. You know, he's come on to so many people's shows, and Bill's people and Lonnie have had to kick him out. Oh, he's on now. He's going. Bye. I've been taking your call, dude. I know who it is because it's got that 111. He does it all the time.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
that's him.
It. Yeah,
he's
there's
been
no
cordial
way.
When the last, he was cordial last time he was on mine.
Oh, Vorp, he's worse than a black supremacist. That guy's so far to the left, he's on probably Jupiter or Mars or something. But anyway.
And he's in your state, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the northern part where all the libtards are. He's calling back again. I mean, I don't know why.
You are surrounded. North, south, east, west. It doesn't matter. So, you're just surrounded, period.
Oh, somebody's writing stuff in about the one angry Jew. I don't know what they're talking about, but you can speak to that because you know him or kind of know him. But I you know, I don't care. I won't take his call. I don't want to be upset. You know, it's like,
all right. As far as the one angry Jew goes, I happen to know him personally. He is not a troll. Yes, he is Jewish, and he's one of the smartest dudes I've ever spoken to.
Yeah,
the
he's
man
pretty,
knows his stuff.
He does.
Period.
Hey, Geek Mom, you want to
so
call
So I know
in
that for a fact.
780-221. I'll put it in again. So yeah, no, I've listened to him many times. Mikey, do you want to address this guy? He keeps calling in. 378. He's on the board.
I don't know. What do you mean? Well, I don't know. That's up to you. It's your show.
Okay.
Buddy man.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, Bill can take it, and you can take it. So where we go? Okay, go. You're on the air. Hello? Area code 111, you're on the air. Is there
I
something
guess not.
You really...
So that'll do it then. Nothing to say.
It's unmuted, so I don't know. We've got 1, 2, 3 people that could address it, so I don't know. If he doesn't have anything to say, I don't understand. Maybe he's just trying to listen. And then, you know, chime
yeah, that's
in.
All. Yeah,
I
so
kick
just,
him out.
Yeah.
I feel like the profanity and the ridiculous attacks on somebody that nobody even knows, you know. It's just it's unbelievable. So, whatever. Anyway, so I know that you had mentioned earlier about ISIS and ISIL and all the rest of it. And I know you're right because I'm trying to put the connect the dots. That we have trained, funded, and started all this nonsense from way back.
I will be playing an audio clip tomorrow night on that subject. So.
I know. I don't want to.
I will have that covered.
Awesome.
I will have it covered. So.
And yeah. What bothers us so much, and even people like Hannity, you know, they're getting a little glimpse into the higher truth of, no pun intended, Mr. Mikey B.
Intend the pun. That's the name of my show, Higher Truth Radio, indeed.
Exactly. But, you know, that he understands, I think he's starting to get a glimpse of real truth that sending your sons and daughters into whatever in this, you know what I mean, into mm-hmm. this mess. And I know Ron's addressed this. Angry Jews addressed it. You've addressed it. We are paying for our own demise. There's that book called Cracking the Code. I believe that's the title of it.
Oh, yes, that, about the taxes. And that's a real enlightening deal right there.
And so, you know, all of these things that we're starting to that are dawning on us and we get it, it's like why we're funding our own demise and nobody gets that part. It's like, why are we doing it? It doesn't matter whether it's Common Core or sending your kids to military or paying taxes. All of it, banning the bag, opening up pot shops, the whole thing is insane. It's like they're like the part I read from Bradley Dean talking about in the progressive view, the state is the one. You know, and it's true. This is totalitarianism. That's what we're facing, Mikey. We're facing not only that, we're facing darkness and principalities on a daily basis. But even below that level, we have to deal with these clowns who are trying to bring Stalin back. I mean, looks like it to me, because he was pretty damn ruthless, and he was a statist. And he believed in, you know, he was God, and that would be it.
It's being done here. It's the soft kill.
Yes.
Is being used, not the hard. See, it's a gradual. That's when we have nothing left. But you see, that's going to be in the guise of restoring social order.
Exactly.
Because we're gonna attack each other, either through a huge racist blowout. It looks like Ferguson isn't working. No, it's not. And when the evidence comes out on that, it's going to show that the police officer had a broken or fractured orbital eye socket. It's going to show that he did not fire off six rounds in rapid succession. It's going to show that he fired a few. And
right.
this Mike Brown
right.
person, who is big as a freaking house,
right.
came at him again. And again, the cop was badly injured. And he shot
right.
and killed him. And
yep.
that's what the evidence is going to show. And the libtards, once again, are going to be humiliated. But you know what? There will be another one. And the same people are going to follow the race pimps of Barack Obama and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the rest of them.
Al Sharpton, yeah.
And it's just going to continue and continue and continue. Because people, at this point, want any excuse to burn, rape, and pillage. They just want
sure.
any excuse under the sun. And the government knows that, and they're feeding that line. And so if we do to that point where there's absolute chaos, well, that's when they'll have the justification for rolling in the tanks and restoring order, if you will. So it's going to be a lot different than the way Stalin and Hitler did it. But it's going to be the same result.
Oh, at the end, absolutely. And what really frosts me is, you know, it's really, at this point, it's very difficult to listen to my AM radio anymore. Not so much.
I'm done with that.
Yeah, I'll tell you why, Mikey. And it's not so much the people that are on it and what they're saying. It's the propaganda behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm done with all that. I don't have TV. I don't listen to the radio. I just don't do it. I listen to Alex Jones. I listen to a local guy here in Houston, Texas, Raging Elephants Radio. You can go to RagingElephantsRadio.com. Doc Green, who will be on my show for the third annual September 11th show next week. He's on from 10 a.m. till noon. And he's definitely one of us. And then some.
Oh, wow.
So, he is. So
this
you might
amazing.
Want to tune into that. So it's RagingElephantsRadio.com. And, of course, I've got Facebook. I've got Twitter. And I've got my emails that went through RT.com, the Daily Caller,
mm-hmm.
you know, places like that. I get all the news I need, so.
Sure.
I'm all set.
Oh, I guess I had to kick him out, but he's still on mute, so we can continue our show. I'm not bringing him in, so, because I don't want to hear the nonsense. Anyway, he just keeps calling. I guess he's really, really bored. Man, see, it's 5 minutes to five here on the West Coast, so I don't know. Maybe he hasn't started his dinner or something. I have no clue. But anyway,
don't worry about him. You know, don't worry about him. Keep going.
Okay. So basically what I'm trying to get into, and I know that your show is going to be good because you're going to talk really in-depth on these things, and you have clips, and I'm really excited to hear that tomorrow night.
Well, I have two clips. I think they're pretty good.
Okay. And so that... I think what I was talking about in the very, very beginning, if we don't live by example and try to better ourselves, now I know we all do because we're all going to fall short because we're not perfect and we're not meant to be, maybe not meant to be, but I think that's one of the ways to get where we need to go, and we can still rant and rave if we want to on certain sites because maybe it's necessary. But for the most part, if we would lead by example and try to pick up that cross and follow him and follow his example and walk the walk in his footsteps, I think people are going to see that, Mike. I really think they're going to see it. Let that Shekinah light shine through. And I believe that's one of his messages to us to absolutely
mm-hmm.
follow through and do. So, I mean, sometimes it works. I really believe that because... that's why I read that piece from Glenn, because when it was in Ferguson, and it wasn't even his group, it was just a local tea party that went out and helped, not even at his direction. It was just, and these people were shocked that they were Tea Party members because they had been fed a pack of lies and propaganda about them for so long that they, you know, as you know, you tell the big whopper often enough, it becomes the truth, like it's all the Jews' fault in 1933. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know.
Yeah, it works.
Well,
it works with Stalin.
Well, just like it's their fault now. Oh, they own all the corporations. Oh, they own. There are as many. Well, first of all, there's devil worshippers that are in the Illuminati. Period. But
yeah,
they're all
exactly.
under the facade of Jews and Protestants and Catholics. I mean, really, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
It's not just the Jews, folks. And that's another thing. I love this Save Gaza stuff. You know, I find that really, really amusing, the death to Israel and all that. Now, look, I understand that, you know, the Rothschilds and company were behind the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, the Star of David isn't even the Star of David. It's a Rothschild symbol. But that being said, I don't know how people can ignore the fact that Hamas, which almost everybody recognizes is a terrorist organization,
right.
started the war in the first place. And I am
wow.
sure, that, and I've seen audio, video clips of Israelis being frightened and jumping out of their cars and seeking cover when those
yes.
air raid signs
yeah,
sirens
I know.
Go off.
Right.
I mean, they started it, and it was Israel that has agreed to every ceasefire,
yes,
and it's
they
been
have.
Hamas that restarted the fighting. And the fact that Hamas hide in hospitals and in private residences,
right.
what choice does Israel have? What
I know.
Are they just supposed to stand there and just let themselves be bombed? No.
No, it's
the Israeli government has an obligation to protect its citizens. Whether you like Israel being there or not is irrelevant.
Right.
The
they happen to be there.
A terrorist organization has started a war. And just because Israel has better weapons, well, you know, oh, wow, I guess you shouldn't be
yeah.
starting a war. But you see, Hamas knows what it's doing. It knows what it's doing.
I just want to kind of throw this out there, too, because I've never been to Israel, so I cannot speak from firsthand, but others have, and they've shown little documentaries and things like that, and seen things on the ground that others can't, because that's an expensive trip to make. But
I would love to go, but I never will. I'll never go in that territory. You couldn't pay me.
Yeah,
you just couldn't pay me to go.
I know, it's pretty scary.
I won't go near anywhere. I will not go anywhere east of Germany. I just won't do it.
I won't even go there.
They're animals. They're animals. It's too big of a risk. I won't do it.
Oh, thank you, Giggy Mom. I don't know if you're leaving or what, but thanks for joining us. Anyway, basically what I understand is that all of these people, you know, who live there, there's Arabs, there's Jews, there's some Christians, there's even Muslims who are in Israel, the state of Israel, and they seem to do well. They've got a free market system for the most part. They try. They've got, you know, everybody's worshiping the way they're supposed to, that they want to, in some sense of freedom. They seem to be compatible until the rockets start coming over from, you know, over there. But I mean, it's so juvenile. Every stupid, you know, fighting over real estate and every other damn thing is very juvenile. It has been since day one. I don't get it. I don't know. What do you think? It drives me nuts with the fighting and the bickering and the fifth grade.
Division is very successful.
Yes. Why can't people just be? I mean, my God, I understand. And here's Israel, who's trying to mimic what we actually have here, with open markets and churches and mosques next to each other, and people, you know, trying to live their lives and be nice to each other that they can. I mean, my God, just let everybody, you know, take the beam out of your own eye, for God's sake. They're just, they won't listen. They won't listen to me. They won't listen to God.
When did they ever?
I know. Well, yeah, they didn't listen to him back in the Old Testament either. And he had to show them what was what, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just amazing. So, well, I think I've exhausted everything. I'm going to maybe cut it short, and I want to bring Bill back in to say his final thoughts. And thank you so much both for calling in. And Yo and Dick, everybody else has left the chat room. We finally got rid of the troll, so we're good there. He actually dropped himself off the last time when we started talking about Israel and Gaza. Couldn't handle it. That was funny. So, Mikey, you want to say your last piece, and I'll go to Bill, and then we'll wind it up.
I think that's really it. But I'll see you all tomorrow night, 8 p.m.
Absolutely.
Central, and just got to try to keep raising
Eastern
awareness.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we talked about even on Bill's show yesterday. I had to host the board because Lonnie wasn't around. He was helping his dad. There it is. Because he was in surgery, so we're praying for them and all these people. So thanks, Mikey. Tomorrow night, after Terry Rowland's shows, and yours is 9 p.m. Eastern, hers 6 p.m. Eastern. Great deal. We will touch base with you later. God bless. And, Bill, what's your final thoughts?
I love where you and Mikey were going. You were hitting things right as they are. And if the public can't see it, it's only because they refuse to look.
I know.
I want to thank you both for... Thank you both for all that you do.
Thank
you,
Bill.
You're a blessing to me, and you're a blessing to many others. And God bless you. And everyone have a great night and a better tomorrow.
Absolutely. And say hi to the crew back there, whoever's listening.
I sure will.
Okay, love. All right. And I'll take you out with Somebody's Watching Me. Kind of cool. Love you guys. See everybody tomorrow night. Terry and Mike show. And Yo and
you
Nick.
Got it.
Thanks also for tuning in.
Watching me. I pay the price. paranoid is paranoid. When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, 'cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch, but maybe showers remind me of a psycho too much. That's why
I always feel like the fun is watching me, and I have no pride.
Thanks, guys. Be blessed. See you tomorrow. Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You got it.